I give you a very warm and sincere welcome to this, our harvest day here in this church, and to our morning worship. And it's great to see a good congregation gathered in, and you're all very, very welcome. A word of thanks, a brief word of thanks to all those yesterday who came and who provided of the different items and who gave of their time to decorate. Thank you so much. I just want to draw your attention to a few of the notices. We don't want to spend much time on this, but our evening worship tonight at 7 o'clock, and really after the harvest weather that we've had, if we can't gather as a large congregation on the evening of harvest this year, well then, when can we? So let me strongly encourage you to return this evening for our evening worship. I will be preaching in 2nd, 3rd Rathfrieland, and our minister, the Reverend Burke, will be with us here. So do plan to be here as well. Please do read through the bulletin for all the different announcements. Again, let me just draw your attention, men, remember Tuesday evening at 8 for the men's discipleship, and also the elders' meeting on Wednesday and Thursday evening, our midweek fellowship, as we gather to encourage one another and to pray. Let me strongly commend that to you. We're praying for greater numbers at our midweek fellowship, so do join with us. Friday evening, the Faith Mission event on Tullyframe Road up near Atticall, where George Conn will be telling the Cyrus McCormick story. That's at 8 o'clock in the community centre there, so we commend that to you. We still need a couple of people who'd be willing, kind enough, to bake a few apple tarts, and if you can, please sign the sheet in the vestibule. We also need a bit of help with the PowerPoint. So do talk to David McCullough about that. The notices are there. And it's the week of prayer for CEF. These little leaflets are in the vestibule. These are all our notices. The choir will lead us. Well, we're all going to join together in singing. Harvest service would not be a harvest service without We Plough the Fields and Scatter, possibly the most famous of the harvest hymns in our tradition. So we're going to sing We Plough the Fields and Scatter. We're singing it through, and then we're singing the chorus, a verse, and the chorus of another harvest song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. So we just keep standing as we sing these two as the music leads us.
Thank you.
Continue to focus upon the Lord as we pray. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this harvest weekend here in this church. We bless you as the Lord of the harvest. We thank you for the promises in your word that seed time and harvest would continue until the end of the age. And we thank you this morning and this day that we are gathered in this house, surrounded by the symbols and emblems of the harvest of the land. And we bless you, O God, for all of these good gifts of flower and fruit and vegetable and other things as well. Gracious Lord, we pray very often, give us this day our daily bread. And we gather today on this Harvest Sunday to return our thanks that you have indeed over this past year given us those things that we need. And we thank you today, gracious God, for that other harvest, that harvest of the soul, that harvest of the spirit, that harvest of the things eternal, that is also being gathered in and is represented here today as we sing these hymns, as we speak to you now in prayer and seek your face, as we read your word and as we listen to the gospel. Lord, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts by your grace for the fruit of the Spirit. Lord, we thank you for your Son Jesus who came and who died and who rose again, that whosoever should call upon him would be saved. And we thank you today for the fact that many of us have that testimony. And we pray today that as a result of this service this morning and this evening, that we might gather to praise your name, to be encouraged and fed and taught and challenged from your word, and that we might, yes, be thankful for the harvest around us, but also for the harvest within us, as your Spirit has brought us to see our need of Jesus Christ, and we have been brought to that place where we have bowed at the foot of the cross and we have surrendered to Christ. So gracious God, we commit our time to you. We pray that you would bless us this whole day, this Harvest Sunday, and Lord, that we would be profoundly blessed and helped whatever struggles and problems and difficulties that we all indeed may be facing this day. Lord, help us to look upon you and to you and ask and expect that blessing and that help. And we commit our services to you now and ask for that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to read from the Word of God, reading this morning quite a short psalm, but in many ways a harvest psalm, certainly a harvest theme in it, Psalm 126, a well-known psalm. So let's follow and let's listen to the word of God, Psalm 126. When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. And he who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. Amen. We thank the Lord for that wonderful promise in his word. Now the ladies are going to sing a piece, Seek Ye the Lord. Now, I'm actually not going to ask the boys and girls to come to the front this morning, but I am going to show you something, boys and girls, and I'm sure you'll all be able to see it. This is the harvest season, and it's a time of the year whenever we are gathering in the things that have been planted some months ago. But it is also a time for planting. And I'm not going to go down the farming road with this, but there are things that will be planted in some farms over the next wee while. But I'm going to go down the gardening road. Now, I have here a lovely picture of a very bright flower. And I don't have any flowers with me today, but I have what will make a flower, because I have here four or five little bulbs. And if these are planted at this time of the year, if this bulb here is put in the ground, all being well, next February or March, we will have a lovely, bright, yes, it is a hyacinth. we will have a lovely, bright hyacinth. And if you don't believe that, all being well, come to the manse next March. And in theory, I should be able to show you some. Okay, now, if I wasn't sure how to do this. I have got something else with me here today. Somebody might say, and maybe some of the boys and girls might say, well, I'm not sure. How do I plant that? How deep do I put it into the ground? And all sorts of questions like that. And boys and girls, what I would do then is I would say, read the book. Here is a book that will give you all the answers as to how to plant your bulbs and to do other things so that next spring there will be some lovely things growing. And the lesson that I want to just leave with you this morning, boys and girls, is a very simple lesson. That if we want to plant and sow so that some lovely things will grow, and we're maybe not sure how to do that, well, read the gardening book, and it will teach us, and it will show us how to sow so that the flowers and all the other things will grow. Now, there's a very, very simple lesson here for us. And the boys and girls, some of them will know, in fact, I would say all of you will know the answer to this, that if we as boys and girls and as mums and dads and grown-ups are to sow in a way that pleases God so that we might grow up to love Jesus and to follow Jesus, and we're maybe not sure how to do that, where can we go to find the answer? So would some of the boys and girls, somebody stick up your hand and tell me, in light of what I've just said to you, yes, Laura. Yes, Sarah. Read the Bible is exactly the right answer. Read the Bible. If you're not sure how to sow that things will grow in the garden, well, get yourself a gardening book. If you're not sure how to sow so that things can grow on the farm, well, get yourself a farming manual. And if you're not sure how to sow so that you might grow to know the Lord Jesus and to live for the Lord Jesus, well then, read the book. Read the book. Boys and girls, I was telling some of the older boys and girls at the Sunday school this morning, and I think this is something that I'm going to be talking about very soon. I have just this past week put up a poster in the room behind me with all the books of the Bible on it. Because I sometimes am surprised whenever a question is asked, where do you find such and such a book in the Bible? And sometimes people that should know better, they don't. And that's not good. So I want to encourage the boys and girls, and I want to encourage indeed all of us to be people who go to the book, the Word of God, and to pray that God would make this book live in all of our hearts, that it might be a wonderful blessing day by day. I was saying, some of the boys and girls will have heard this, I was saying at the school recently, that Kilkeel, there are so many of these books sitting on a shelf, unopened. And that is an awful, awful thing. So boys and girls, let's lead the way. You encourage people in your house to lift the book, open it up, and read, and take heed to what's being said as it points you to the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what I want to leave with you this morning. And we're going to sing a lovely children's hymn, All Things Bright and Beautiful, All Creatures Great and Small. And at the end of this, can I encourage very promptly the children to be coming through for the children's church. And somebody over at this side, just make sure they don't fall into the peats there. A lovely little burrow of peats, so just watch that. So let's stand and sing, and then the children will leave for children's church, and the offering will be taken, and the choir will be singing. boys, girls, come on ahead. And it's great to see so many boys and girls. In some ways, I was sorry not to bring them up to the front this morning, but there's maybe too many things going on at the front this morning, so... So as I've said, after the children leave, the offering will be received, the harvest offering, and the choir will sing the piece entitled, Sing the Lord of Harvest. Well, let's come with our prayers for others on this Harvest Sunday. Let us pray. Father, it would be remiss and sinful of us on this Harvest Sunday to just be taken up with what we have received. Lord, we realize that we live in a world where there is so much need. We take a moment to remember different parts of the world today where there are tremendous needs. Lord, we pray into situations where there has not been a harvest and where the harvest has not been shared with others. And we continue to remember parts of the world where there is great poverty. And we thank you for agencies like Tear Fund and Christian Aid and others that are seeking in the name of the Lord Jesus to bring food and clean water and medicine and clothing and warmth. We remember, O God, the many refugees in our world. We remember the many who have had to flee from the region of Syria and Iraq in the face of evil. And we do pray, O God, for these refugees. We pray, O God, for those who are seeking to deal with the very serious problem of the Ebola. And we do ask, O God, that you would guide the medical people and the leaders of the world, that they might have a coordinated and strategic plan to counter this serious threat. Father, we pray for a spiritual harvest to be gathered in, not only throughout the earth, but in our own country. Father, we pray for our own community. We pray, O God, for our own congregation. And we ask, Lord, that as we prayerfully prepare for a time of harvest at the mission, Lord, we pray that there will be harvest even before the mission, and during it, and after it. Lord, we seek your face. The choir have reminded us that you are the Lord of the harvest. And it is not either up to us, nor are we capable of bringing in a spiritual harvest in our own strength. So, Lord, we beseech you today to come and to move by your Spirit and to awaken and convert many to Jesus. Lord, we are also very mindful of our farming community, for whom we are very thankful. And we thank you for the many farmers here today. We thank you again for the wonderful autumn it has been, one to remember. And we do indeed pray that if there's still a bit of harvest to be brought in, that it will be brought in, and that indeed our farming community will not only know safety in their work, but a return for their labour, and also a thankfulness within their own souls to the Lord of the harvest. Lord, continue with us, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The combined choir and praise group are going to bring a piece called Lord of the Harvest. Well, thank you very much indeed, choir, for the pieces today, and we look forward to the same this evening. And I am bound to say thank you to Louise. She actually wrote that last piece, so thank you, and use the talent God has given you. We're all going to stand and sing this other hymn before we come to God's word. Speak forth your word, O Father, our hungry minds to feed. Well, can I encourage you to turn to this harvest psalm, Psalm 126. Well, it's been a wonderful month and a half of weather. I know it's a bit dull today, but you'll know exactly what I mean. It has certainly been an extraordinary September, weather-wise. When was the last time any of us can remember an Indian summer quite like that? Because that is certainly what it was. And here we are today to give thanks at this harvest service this morning and this evening. And we come to a psalm this morning which is full and ripe with harvest images. Just very quickly, in essence, Psalm 126 is a community lament which recalls a time of previous blessing, verse 1, and asks for a fresh shower of that mercy. In verse 4, we are not told here. It doesn't specify what particular circumstance or situation is in view. One writer says this, whether Zion's restoration was from famine or siege, captivity or plague, it has been obviously miraculous and widely talked about. The psalm portrays a great sense of relief at what God did in the past. But that is now a distant memory, and the psalmist longs for something fresh and new in the present. A bit like a potato farmer in a tough year when prices are low, thinking back to the good years when prices were good, and longing for a better day. Three simple points this morning. And the first one is this, looking back to better days. We see there, right at the very beginning of the psalm in verse 1, when the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongues with songs of joy. We are all, every one of us, prone to look back, and there is no harm in that, though it is also not without its dangers. Indeed, the word of God in Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 10 reminds us of this. Do not say, why were the old days better than these? For it is not wise to ask such a question. Having said that, there is certainly a place for recalling and remembering things in the past, especially things that have been a blessing. For example, we can all, and this happens often within the church, recall days in the past whenever the Lord blessed in a wonderful way. For example, let me just quote one paragraph from a book by Ian Murray about revival. And he says this, when revival returned to the churches on both sides of the Atlantic Ocean in the years 1857 to 1859, it is estimated that in the United States, in that relatively short period of time, 500,000 people were added to the kingdom. Here in this province of Ulster, it is estimated that 100,000 people came to know the Lord. And over in Wales, it is estimated that 50,000 people came to know Christ. When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. For a more in-depth look at this, if you are interested, you can do a lot worse than read the late John T. Carson's book, God's River and Spate, which will record for you and tell you a little bit of the blessing of God throughout this province, including here in County Down. Looking back to better days. But the second thing I want you to notice is looking out on arid days. The psalmist looks back, but it's obvious that things are not quite what they were. Because in verse 4 we read these challenging words, restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Back at the beginning of September, I heard one of the farmers say that the ground was nearly too dry to be digging the potatoes. And as someone who grew up on a potato farm, I know that that is a very unusual thing to be saying. Too dry. Well, that comment fades in comparison to what is described here. Few places could have been more dry and arid than the Negev. It was a dry and parched landscape. And that is how the psalmist sees his present situation. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. As the psalmist looked out on his contemporary life, he saw it a bit like the Negev. He saw it as a place that was dry and parched. And how he longs that it be transformed. Let me ask you a question. How do you see the situation in which you live spiritually? Let me ask you another question. How would you describe the spiritual temperature of this country in which we live? How would you currently describe the spiritual temperature of this province of which we are a part here in Northern Ireland? Surely it is not too much to describe it in many places from a spiritual perspective. I'm not talking here but materially and other ways. But from a spiritual perspective, surely it's not too much to describe it as being dry and parched and arid. We live in a modern, sophisticated age where the last thing on the mind of the majority of people is either God or Jesus Christ or the cross or the resurrection, or the things of the life to come. That is the reality. Let me put it in a way that none of us can miss. People are more interested today in their Facebook or their Twitter account than they are of their spiritual account. Christ's cause in our land is at a very low ebb. But let me be a little bit more pointed. How would you describe the spiritual temperature of this church, or any church for that matter? We have a situation in our land, I believe, and in our province, where more and more people are becoming a little bit slack with the things of God. Families are regular in attendance. Communicant members are regular in attendance, children not being brought to Sunday school, young people left to their own devices as to whether they go to youth fellowship or not. Let me be even more pointed. How would you describe the spiritual temperature of your life? Yes, you're a communicant member and you make a profession of faith. But let me ask you, as was asked to a man some years ago, a profoundly challenging question. Are you walking with God? Could you say that you truly love the Lord and you're walking with him day by day? And look, folks, I understand we all make a blunder at times, but the general question still stands. Is there a real change in your behavior and attitude because of your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus? Or maybe you're here this morning and you're not yet a believer. You have not yet come to that place of surrender and commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Well, that's where it needs to begin, and it needs to begin today. Looking out on arid days. But the third thing is looking up for harvest days. The psalmist, yes, he does look back and he looks out. But he also looks up to God. And I just want to very quickly draw your attention to some of the spiritual principles that are mentioned here this morning. And they're very simple things. And the first one is prayer. Verse 4 says, "Restore our fortunes, O Lord." Do you see, do you sense the heartfelt cry of the psalmist, "O Lord, restore us. Restore us." Wasn't it another man of God, Jacob? Yes, he made many a blunder, certainly. But you remember Jacob in Genesis 32, where he laid hold of the Lord and said, "I will not let you go until you bless me." It was a heartfelt cry. It is said of John Knox, the great Scottish reformer, that he often prayed, "Give me Scotland or I die, Lord." He cried on to God for blessing. I was touched this past week by a little word from Genesis chapter 4, a very simple little word in Genesis 4 and 26, and it says this: "At that time, men began to call on the name of the Lord." At that time, men began to call on the name of the Lord. And as I thought about that verse, sitting in my study, I thought of our plans for mission next March. And I prayed, by God's grace, earnestly, I trust, and sincerely, that more and more professing believers within our church would catch the vision of gathering to pray. And to pray, "Lord, restore our fortunes." Today, as you leave the building, you will receive a little prayer bookmark just to encourage you to pray. If you study the scriptures, if you study church history, if you investigate contemporary church life, you will discover that the blessing of God is upon those who seek him in prayer. And yet the strange, mysterious thing, not only here but across the churches, is that we are slow to seek his face. The words of D.A. Carson, a leader over in the States, in one of the Bible colleges over there, he says this: "Granted that some of us know some individuals who are remarkable prayer warriors, is it not nevertheless true that by and large we're better at organizing than agonizing? We're better at administering than interceding, better at fellowship than fasting, better at entertainment than worship, better at theological articulation than adoration of the Lord, and better, God help us," he says, "at preaching than at praying." We need to pray, folks. We need to pray. The other thing is here, I just want you to notice, we have a wonderful promise. Notice what it says: "Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams." See that word? Streams in the Negev. Streams in the desert. There's a wonderful promise here. Nothing could be quite as dramatic as the transformation that can take place in the Negev after a downpour of rain. And suddenly the dry, parched land is flowing because of the shower of blessing. And indeed, not only that, a short period afterwards, the grass begins to grow, and you can even have some beautiful little flowers and other things growing as well. The promise of unexpected showers of blessing. I was sharing with some of the folks the other night at a little planning meeting. I think it was the early 1960s, the late Dr. William Fleming, who was the minister of Trinity Hockle Church, tells the lovely little story of how they had gathered for a watch night service the final day of the year. And at the end of that service, a number of folks said, "I think we should meet to spend a little time in prayer." And so they did. And they prayed. And just about 2:30, they were about to finish. And a young man prayed. A young man who had recently come to Christ. And the Spirit of God was so upon him that there was a great spirit of prayer. And after he prayed, they couldn't get the prayer meeting finished. So many people were praying, and they finished at 5:00. It was a shower of blessing. And that's what we long for. And if the picture in verse 4 is a picture that is dramatic, then the picture in verses 5 and 6 is maybe more mundane, slow and arduous. And yet there is undoubted promise. The promise that you will reap. The promise that you will return with songs of joy. And that leads me to my last thing that I want to say this morning. A priority. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. Folks, that's a very challenging little phrase, isn't it? And it evokes in us the picture of probably what did happen. Imagine a poor Eastern peasant farmer going out to sow the seed, realizing that the future of his children and his family depended upon a harvest coming forth. And it was maybe with a heavy heart and with a tear-filled eye that he literally sowed the seed. Let me remind you of one other who sowed. Let me remind you today of ultimately one who looked over the city and wept tears. Let me remind you today of one who stood at the side of a grave in the midst of death and wept tears. Let me remind you today of one who went to a quiet place in a garden and wept and sweated, as it were, tears of blood and cried unto his Father. You see, in the Lord Jesus Christ, ultimately, we have one who sowed in tears. Tears that took him to the cross on Calvary's hill. Tears that took him to that place where he shed his blood, that whosoever should believe upon him should not perish eternally, but have everlasting life. But folks, here's the lovely thing. Those tears were not in vain. Because on the third day, he rose again, bringing possible a salvation for whosoever would believe. And one day, he will see the labor and the travail of his soul, and he will be satisfied at the eternal harvest that is gathered in. Oh, what a priority for us folks today to sow in tears, whether it's literal tears or whether it's a genuine concern and burden of heart is really not the point. Let me finish with this. Amy Carmichael was a young Presbyterian girl from County Down who had this concern, not only for her neighbours and friends around her in County Down and in the city of Belfast, but a concern that led her to spend most of her life in India. And she was a very talented young girl. And she wrote many little poems and things that are very, very weighty and worth you reading them. I quote one today as I finish. Oh, for a passionate passion for souls. Oh, for a pity that yearns. Oh, for a love that loves unto death. Oh, for a fire that burns. Oh, for the pure power prayer that prevails, that pours itself out for the lost. Victorious prayer in the conqueror's name. Oh, for a Pentecost. My dear people, there needs to be something of that spirit within us in these days. Whether we are preparing for a mission in March or whether we were not, but there certainly needs to be that. And the promise, those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy, and he who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. My dear people, I say this to you today as I finish. Cast your bread upon the waters, for after many days you will find it again. A short prayer and then we stand to sing our closing hymn. Father, we pray that you would take this harvest psalm, a challenging psalm, and apply it to our hearts, whatever our spiritual condition, whether we're in Christ or not. Lord, move by your Spirit in us today. Convict us, trouble us, burden us, and lead us to that place of blessing, because we ask it in the Saviour's name. Amen. Well, we're going to sing this wonderful hymn, and I'll not be going to the door this morning. Let's enjoy singing this lovely hymn, Almighty God, your word is cast like seed into the ground. Lord, do take your word, this precious seed, and plant it deeply in every heart. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest and abide with us this day and evermore. Amen.